See, I knew Ross was losing it. I caught him tonight ruffling through my bag over there. I thought he was going to steal my sermon, everything that I had in my bag. I said, there's trouble tonight. Now you're forgetting whether it's a quiz or the You shouldn't laugh at things like that. You know, I told somebody this week that all of us are losing our minds. We just don't know what's happening anymore. We forget what we do. I know if you're like me, that's the way it is. I'm 49 years old, and I got the worst head on any 49 that you ever come across, because I tell you, I put my keys down 1 minute, and I'm asking Susan, where's my keys? And I'm right away, I'm going to defensive, because I make believe that she's the one moved them. I don't know where your keys are. They're right wherever you left them. You had to be moved them, because I can't find them. And then I go and find them right where I left them. Anybody else like that? Good, I'm not alone. Amen. Anyway, tonight, young people, I got something that's quite simple, I think, for each and every one of us. And it's something that affects, I guess, just about every person in the world. We're going to talk tonight just for a little bit about things that are dead. Not a pleasant subject, I guess, to most of us. But that's what we're going to do. And if you've got your Bibles and you want to follow I'm going to read two verses in the beginning. So if you want to follow along, the verses are going to be the very familiar verses. In fact, I guess most of even the boys and girls could probably quote them to us tonight. First one's found in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, and the other one's going to be found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and we're going to just talk a little bit tonight about dead things, okay? The first verse, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, says, "For all have sinned," say it along with me, "and come short of the glory of God." Okay. The next verse, and you can read that along with me too, is found in Romans 6 and 23. You ready? "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's true. So what we've just read about here tonight, in the first verse, it tells us that all of us have sinned. In the second verse, goes on to explain that the wages of that is what? Death. Okay. It's a good thing that this thing I had here didn't have something that was dead, because Russ might have been in trouble, you see. He was opening up all of my packages, and he found out the thing probably was dead, because if it had been alive, he might have been in trouble. Anybody want to come up here? I got something inside of this box, and it's dead. He stopped when I said dead. I don't know whether he wanted to continue on or what. And you might say, well, I hope you can hear me in the back. How could something that looks so nice, see, have something dead inside of it? And I'll tell you what, the dead thing in it really belongs in it. It came inside of it. Now, are you afraid for me to open this thing up? You ain't afraid. Okay. He wants to open himself. But I'm going to open it, and I'm going to ask you a question. Okay? And open it up. You want to tell them what it is? They can't hear that.
A watch.
It's a watch. Okay. Stand there for a second. Now, it's a watch. And that's right. That's what it is. Can you see anything wrong with this watch? Can you tell time? You can't tell time? If you can't tell time, I might be in trouble anyway. Now, what's wrong with it? You know, see anything wrong with it? No, not a thing. Whew. Anyway, just stand right there. But do you know what time it says? You don't know what time it says? Who could come up here and tell me what time it says? You know what it says. Tell me what time you think it is. You ready to go? Yeah. What time should she go?
6:40.
Okay. He starts at 6:40. And he's right. Okay, you can sit down. Now, I showed him the watch, and I asked him if there was anything that he could find wrong with it. And come back here, Diego. Hunter couldn't find anything wrong with it. You look at it. Can you tell me what's wrong with it? All right. So what does that mean? So it must be dead, eh? Okay. So this is a dead watch. That's what I wanted to get. All right, now you can sit down. Now, I said just by looking at it, and I guess that's what fooled Hunter, is this watch is a nice watch. I'm telling you. It's a fossil. It's got a beautiful face on it. In fact, it's got one of these new bands, you know, these Fandango things. I have a job with them sometimes. You open up one part, and then you have to push a button to get the other part open. But that's just the kind of band it's got on it. Nice band. It even lights up in the night. Beautiful face. And it came from down to Robert's Jewelry. Brother Frank, you could tell Niles, I'll take a 20% discount for the plug. But anyway, it's a beautiful watch. It's a nice watch that the youth choir gave to me, and Ross tried to teef it, but he got one too, and so did Cassidy. And he's got her on. Okay. This watch, like I said, it's a beautiful watch. It's nice face, and it's real nice. And you know something? It's dead. That's the only problem, is it? It's not working. And I say that to say this. There are many people, and perhaps there may be some, that are inside of here tonight, and you might be just like that watch, you know? You might have a nice face on. You might have on some nice clothes. A lot of people in here have pretty faces, and I'm not going to call any names. And some of you have nice smiles. Some of your parents probably paid $4,000 or $5,000 to get it looking good like that, to have that nice smile. I know I did that for one of my children. I didn't see how much good it did, but it wasted my money. It paid about $5,000. And some people can take nice pictures, you know. All besides me again, I'm telling you, I'm a mess. When it comes to taking a picture, I never take a good picture. It looks like I've always putting on a fake smile. I have to fake it to try to even look good in a picture. So you can imagine, Russ, don't laugh at it. It's not a joke. So a lot of people, you know, they have all of this stuff. They may have pretty faces. They may have pretty smiles. They may wear pretty clothes. But I'll tell you what, deep down inside, and we may have some here tonight. You know, I'm not being a judge because I don't know. I'm not a judge of any man, and I don't know your heart. Only God knows that. And you may be here tonight, and you may be just like that watch, dressed up all pretty and looking good, but inside of you, you're dead. Now, can anybody tell me why they're dead? Come on, I want some of the young ones to help me out tonight. You helped out Brother Frank last week. What's that? They're not saved. That's right. They're dead in their sins. They're spiritually dead. And there's something that they can do to counteract that. Now, anybody know what they have to do? That's right. They have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart. Now, you see, this watch has a button, and I showed you that just now. And this button here on this side is one of the most important parts of this watch. Because, Diego said, the time on it was wrong, and the date on it was wrong, and this button right here controls all of that. I could take with this button, and I could set this watch and put it to the right time, and they keep good time, let me tell you. And I can set it to put the date and put the right date on it, and it'll have a good date. And there's only one way, young people, boys and girls that may be inside of here tonight, that you, if you're here tonight and you're dead and in your sins, there's only one way that you can get life and start running. And you've told me that already. Did anybody tell me that? How you can do that? How can you get life inside of you if you're dead in your sins? You get saved. That's right. He said that just now. And you do that by doing what? How do you get saved? Asking the Lord Jesus Christ, that's right, to come into your heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 says this, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So if you want to be saved, the Bible says we have to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our hearts. It's not a hard thing to do. And that's why it puzzles many Christians why people don't get saved. You know? We look all over our land, and in fact, all over the world, even, but especially on our little island where the Word of God has been preached so much. And like we just saw tonight, how old is Gideon? Can somebody tell me? He's 8. And Gideon could tell you tonight what you have to do to get life. He said you needed to be saved. And that is probably the truth of this entire land. There's probably most, or just about even all of the 8-year-olds can tell people how to be saved, that they need to get life inside of them, and to really start living, they need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, you know, that must be going to be a sad thing for a person that has lived in this island all of their life, and perhaps maybe up in their later years, maybe 60, 70 years old, or you may be 40, 50, or 30 years old, and you've been going out to church all of your life, and you've been hearing the Word of God preached, and you know you sat in your seat sometimes, and you felt like you wouldn't make it through the service, and yet you still did nothing about it. That would be a sad day, you know, when the Lord comes, as we've been hearing so much about in the past few weeks, when the Lord comes to take His church back home to be with Him in heaven, and you're left behind. My. I just cannot imagine what chaos it's going to be on Spanish Wells the day after that. I cannot imagine it. Because every single person that is here, pardon for a minute, every single person that is here is going to realize what has taken place. They're going to know that the Lord Jesus Christ really believed that. At that moment, they're going to realize it. Now, I know, as Brother Larry said the other night, God is going to send a strong delusion that they're going to believe the lie of the devil. But could you imagine that? To know what has happened, and you're left behind in your sins, you're still dead, just like my watch was a few minutes ago. Now, I want to come back up here, come back, Diego, because you told me the time just now. Now, I did something to this watch. I don't know if you saw me when I did it, but what I did was I pushed that button in that I was telling you about. Now, when I pushed that button in, something happened. You know what happened?
The time changed.
Time has changed. Now, tell them what time it is on this watch now.
7:49.
Okay, that's good. Sit down. Thank you. So, just by the touch of that button, by me pushing this button in, it triggered off the battery that was already inside of it, you know. This thing had the battery inside of it. It had the capability of running. It just needed that touch from me to start it off, or the touch from any one of you that might have done that tonight. And life for that watch automatically began. The hands started to go around. That second thing started to move and started to tick. Life came, if you want to call it that, to my watch. It started to go. Before that, it was like you would call it probably in just a dormant state. It was doing nothing. It was making no progress. had no purpose, serving no purpose whatsoever. You know, it was a watch, you called it that, but it couldn't tell you the time. It had wrong time on it. It was no use to me or to you either until that button had been pushed in. That button went in, and everything started to work. You know, as we've said already, inside of every one of us, I read a verse from Romans chapter 10. And let me just read you that one more time. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So inside of us, we have this thing called the heart that we can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with, and we can confess him with our mouth and accept him as our personal Savior. When that happens, it's guaranteed that something is going to happen in your life. If you're dead, I guarantee you're going to become alive, because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, that if any man be in Christ, and that's what happens when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you become is, and you're in Christ, automatically, he becomes a new creation, and old things are passed away, and all things become new. Now, I started my watch with the push of the button, and you can start your life tonight by just accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you're here without him. And I say that, and you say, well, why are you preaching the gospel? Well, you know what? I love the gospel. I don't know about you, but I love it, because it was the thing that brought me to God. It was the thing that convicted me of my sins. And I think every Christian should love the gospel. If you don't, it's something wrong with you. And then it also, you never know, boys and girls, I don't know your hearts. Your mommy don't know your hearts. Nobody knows your heart. Only God. So if you're here tonight and you understand, and this goes for the young people and the older ones as well, if you're here tonight and you understand what it means to be dead in your sins, then it's up to you to do something about it. I can't do it like I just did with my watch. Because if I could, and if any of the others here could, I'm sure we'd all be pushing the buttons tonight and just to get you saved. But we can't do it. Only you can do that. And it's up to you tonight to make that choice, whether you're going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or whether, once again tonight, you're going to take the chance and say no. It's your choice. It's your decision. You have to make it. I trust you're going to make the right one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your word, because we realize afresh that it will prick our hearts and our conscience, and it will teach us what's right and wrong. And we realize that many times as Christians, Lord, we do fail, and we do things that we shouldn't do and say things that we shouldn't say. But we are grateful to know that you have washed us and cleansed us in your precious blood. And we pray for those tonight that perhaps maybe in this service, it may be a young person or old one or some teenager here that has never yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe has made a profession and really is not living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that tonight, before they leave this building, that they will have the calm assurance that they have a new life. That's what we've been talking about tonight. In Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the food that has been provided for us, and we ask that you would bless it and use it to the nourishing of our bodies as we go out now to partake of it, giving you thanks again in your precious and worthy name. Amen. Thank you for coming out, and as we've just said, tonight is our fellowship night, and we invite all of you to stay behind and fellowship with us. Thank you. The service is over.